Hey folks, this is reporter Matthew Dennis from Idaho Ed News. I am pleased to be joined today with newly elected ASBSU President and Vice President Cheyenne Sheen and Vice President Jason Holman.
Thanks, Matt. I'm Cheyenne Sheen. I just go by Che. I'm a civil engineering senior, minor in environmental studies, and the new ASBSU president.
Hello, my name is Jason Holman. I am a senior in the School of Public Service in the College of Business and Economics. I am the ASBSU Vice President.
Great. Thanks to both of you for being here today and looking forward to getting into your vision for Boise State next year. So what was the motivation to run together?
I can answer that. Che and I have mutual friends, and as she was looking for a running mate, she was asking around, and I don't know who's or had mentioned my name, but one of us had each other's number. We met at the Starbucks on campus, just talking about if we want to run, what our goals would be, if we had similar goals at all. And then we moved on from there. I gave a little bit of thought, so did she. She talked to her other people, and I think we reached a general consensus like a week or two later.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing was that we noticed a lot of students having a hard time with like the current student government, and we both really felt like this was like a space where we could step up. And especially since like we've been in a lot of leadership positions at Boise State Community since we were both freshmen, working with a lot of like admin and other groups on campus. And so after some convincing, we decided to run. So
nice. Now you said some students were having a hard time, and can you extrapolate on that? Can you explain that a little bit more? What did you see that you felt that you could help students with at Boise State?
I think the biggest thing was transparency. There was a lot of things with like the Constitutional Convention, a lot of other initiatives on campus where most students had a pretty negative view on ASBSU and how they were running. A lot of mixed communication, a lot of students expressing their opinions on certain changes or things that were happening, but these suggestions weren't very like considered, I would say. And so we, both Jason and I, witnessed this when we went to a constitutional convention. And both of us are super involved in campus, and we had never heard anything about it until like a friend of a friend told us.
Really?
Yep. And and then we pull up and we're like, what is going on, you know? And even when I was like, hey, like I see problems in this, like there seems to be like a lack of like accountability in this, like because you're changing the Constitution in these ways, the Constitution was still the same the next week. So yeah, they were very selective in what student voices they valued. But I think I want to also like, I don't want to like bash on them. Like,
nor do I. There were attempts to communicate the Constitutional Convention, but that did not reach the greater student population. Okay. I never received an email about it, and I think others had mentioned that. I don't know what the logistics of sending out emails to 20,000 students is, but I had no idea what the Constitutional Convention was. I had no idea what it was about until it was already happening. And I think that was a sentiment shared by a lot of students, because ASBSU tends to be inaccessible unless you're even, I was a club president, I found it difficult to communicate with them at certain times. And I feel like if you're not in one of those positions, it's difficult to reach out as well.
Can we close the blinds? The reflections, yeah, the reflections just like shining my face. Sorry about that.
Oh, I probably just blinded you.
Yeah, thank you.
No worries. This one's closed already, because Jenna Lee was getting the sun in her eyes earlier as well, so no worries. So you felt it was a little bit inaccessible. It sounds like a case of these people basically communicating with the people that they know and the people who they associate with. Were there attempts to talk about what changes that they wanted and for some negotiation? It sounds like it just wasn't changed whatsoever.
Well, I know at first there was pushback from people in IESC, the Inclusive Excellence Student Council, to make sure that more student voices were included. And so they began having town halls. And then at these town halls, there were like constitutional convention delegates there in ASBSU. And then a lot of students would show up and share their opinions. But I remember like the last one that we had, like they spent like 2 hours explaining like their reasonings behind the constitution that they had created. And then they left like, what, 10 minutes for students. And then each student got like 20 seconds.
Which was enforced.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
And there were many, many students in that room that like had their hands raised, was ready to like state their opinion, but was never able to because once like the 10 minutes were up, they were like, okay, meeting ended.
And that was for students both opposed and for the constitutional changes. So we never got to necessarily hear either side of the student population's voice.
And this was true at most or if not all of the town halls.
The town halls and the constitutional conventions, you could, in theory, talk to somebody if they had stayed, but most of the people who were involved in it left immediately after. Granted, it's the school year.
Yeah, so the town hall was like a space where students could express their opinions, but the constitutional convention weren't all the delegates were there. It was usually a space where like the constitutional convention delegates said what they wanted, and then student input like came at the very end. So
now the new constitution passed, didn't it?
It did.
Yeah. Yes.
And it sounds like it was split similar to what you guys are expressing. About half the students supported it, about half of the students did not support it. But now that it has passed, it seems like the primary change is eliminating that IESC branch or official designation as the government, but the IESC can still exist, and then it creates essentially a balance of power similar to the United States government, executive, judicial, and legislative. So I guess my first question on that is, what do you see IESC's role being going forward, and will that change because of the Constitution changing their designation?
IESC's role is still the same.
Okay.
The Act of Inclusion is for everybody, and IESC just happens to have really special students on it who can reach like every corner of campus. Under, like, Jason and I plan on leading in a way that continues to ensure that like all students have a place at Boise State where they can thrive and have the access to resources they need. It's just unfortunate that IESC's value wasn't seen and so was removed as a branch, and now they'll have like less access to funds within the budget. They'll have less access to voting power with certain bills and resolutions. I think your goal is to really continue to like support that work, because that supports like all students on campus.
Yeah, I think we're fortunate to still have the associate vice president of IESC.
Okay.
But they will not have any support from their delegates that they no longer have.
Well, they still have a committee.
They do, but those people would not be paid, and that's something that we wanted to ensure that they were.
Okay.
And so, just as I would lead assembly, IESC would lead their committee, but as far as support from ASBSU, that's not included in the Constitution anymore.
So they're no longer receiving funds, or at least the delegates are no longer receiving funds?
So, it's confusing now with the new Constitution, but under the Constitution, there's a certain, like, 5 or 6 delegates that are designated for ISC. And so they would serve in assembly.
Mm-hmm.
And then these delegates, plus, like, other representatives, would make up the ISC committee, which, like, the VPI, the Vice President of Inclusive Excellence, would chair.
Mm-hmm.
And so their work is the same, but in the past, there was a budget for them, so they were able to, like, utilize money a little bit more efficiently. But now, like, if they would want to, like, host, like, a special project, they would have to specifically write a bill and pass it. So it's just, like, a few more loopholes that they'll have to go through in doing, like, the work that they're doing.
So they would have to write a bill and pass it in order to pay for it, or just in order to...
Yeah,
okay.
To, like, pay for it and okay. stuff. So, but I think a lot of people are worried about it. But this year we're really focusing on, like, how do we create access to resources for students who are underserved in our community? So, like, rural students, veteran students, from other, like, racial marginalized groups.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't have to depend on student government.
Okay.
And so we're, like, working with Dean of Students and other, like, departments on campus to make sure that students have, like, access to these resources, and it's not just at the will of, like, ASVC president who decides, like, you know, who gets resources and who doesn't.
That sounds like a good strategy. It sounds like you are working around, or at least within the confines of the new Constitution, but trying to, as you said, create more empowerment throughout the campus. What steps have you taken so far to do that? Or has there been anything yet, because you just got elected 2 or 3 weeks ago?
I think biggest thing is working with Dean of Students.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, I don't know, Student Equity Center is kind of getting, like, a whole remodel. Is that the word?
In the sense of its organizational structure.
Okay.
So they've moved some departments around, so now they're under the Dean of Students office.
Okay.
Same with the Gender Equity Center, and I think the Student Involvement and Leadership Center. I can be corrected on that.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. But it's really just working with, like, all these different departments on campus. Like, these resources, a lot of them do exist.
Mm-hmm.
And then our job is, like, closing the gap between, like, the student and the resource.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. As the Dean of Students been receptive to making communication, to making connections with underserved students more? They've been receptive to that.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, the Dean of Students, like, they care about all students on campus.
Mm-hmm.
And so they really try to make sure that students have, like, the things that they need to thrive.
Yeah, I found that Dean of Students, individual and department, always make an attempt to attend student events as well.
Oh, great.
Regardless of the event. Like, I've seen them at Spring Fling. They came to, we had a conference leadership out in Cascade.
Mm-hmm.
They came up just for a day to see how everybody was doing, went back home. And I found out a lot of administration, but specifically the Dean of Students, which is very, I think it's good for students to see, especially for morale, that administration does care, and they're willing to make an effort to even show up, even if it's not for the entirety of the event.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that is going to help our success in a big way.
Yeah, it sounds like you have some allies on campus, and that's what they're supposed to be, right? They're supposed to be there for all students. Now, again, you two have only been in there for 3 weeks, but this was a bit of a divisive election as well. Have you received any pushback to your administration so far? And what attempts have you made to sort of reach out to those people who might have opposed or just wanted to vote for the other side?
I wouldn't say opposition.
Okay.
In a sense, I think we have a good relationship with the other candidates.
Nice.
Especially now, there were some rocky out conversations, but we had those conversations, and I think we're better off for it. And each person who ran had some kind of different experience, whether in ASBSU or in student leadership. So I think we've established a good relationship to the point where I want their voices to be heard because they have good ideas, and their experience is invaluable. And I think that there are certain times where they should be able to speak up, and I don't think alienating them is to anybody's benefit.
Mm-hmm. So we've invited everybody who ran for ASBSU to come back to ASBSU. Previous ASBSU members we've invited back too, and so I mean, we ran on the entire campaign of like ensuring that like we reach every single corner of campus, and so that means including everybody, not just people who are our friends.
Yeah. Nice.
Because Che and I have very similar yet different social groups on campus.
Mm-hmm.
So I think having others with their unique experiences is important. For example, neither of us are in Greek life. We know people in Greek life.
I used to be in Greek life.
Yeah. Well, I didn't know if you wanted to elaborate on that.
Yeah.
But one of the previous candidates did, and I think we have a good relationship with them, to where if somebody in Greek life wants to share a concern, they can feel comfortable knowing that there's somebody who cares and that they can reach out to, even if it's not directly us.
Yeah, that's fair. So when you say you invite everyone to participate, in the previous, sounds like the previous administration, previous people in ASBSU, are they receptive? It sounds like they want to participate, and they're not reluctant to work with you guys. It sounds like they really want to be a part of this as well.
Yeah. And I think you can be a student leader in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
Like every associate vice president is still a leader.
Mm-hmm.
So when we think of like chief of staff as a position, they're not under us as a sense of hierarchy. I still think they're a student leader. They have the ability to lead in a different way than we do. That goes with assembly and senate as well.
I think to what you're saying is, maybe off the record this part. Maybe. But I think a lot of people saw us and thought that we were whatever they're thinking of. Lots of rumors about like us being really extreme. But I think as like people have seen like the work that we've done on campus and gotten to know us, it's very clear that like our intentions are to make sure that every single student like has a voice and is advocated for. And that's our main priority. And I think as students like have been recognizing that, they're like more excited to work with us, and excited to see like how they can be involved this upcoming year.
Nice. Yeah, I think that's indicative of our entire political climate right now, is whoever is speaking can get labeled as extreme, whether they're coming from the right, whether they're coming from the left, whether they're coming from the top or the bottom. But once you communicate with them as a human being, and you say, oh, like all you want is for there to be equity and accessibility for people, I think there's some connection there. I just wanted to throw that in there. So when you talk about advocacy and talk about student representation, what are some things that you two want to do in this year of your leadership? What things do you want to get better at Boise State for students? What things might you want to see cut back?
Don't talk about mental health.
Yeah, so we have the pleasure of attending the State Board of Education meeting, and one of the points they touched on was K through 20, interesting number, student mental health in Idaho in public schools and universities.
Mm-hmm.
No surprise, coming out of the pandemic, those numbers were terrible, and I don't want to share specifics because they're disheartening, but through the pandemic that we both saw as students, access to mental health resources was pretty much impossible.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty limited.
Pardon?
Pretty limited. I mean, Boise State tried to do a good job, but...
Yeah, and I think every institution tried to do their best, but the numbers show that it wasn't working.
No,
so
I wouldn't say it wasn't working. It's like...
Thank you for correcting me.
Still, like, we still have room to step up.
Agreed.
Yeah.
And you have to think of counseling as a very difficult profession that people don't necessarily want to step into. So there's a need for more mental health professionals. Mm-hmm. And Boise State does have them, and they also have amazing grad students.
Hmm.
You want to add on to that? Make sure I know.
Yeah, I think, like, I mean, the statistics were shocking. And the biggest point at the Idaho State Board of Education was that, like, before they're even coming into, like, post-secondary education, there are already people who are thinking of hurting themselves. There's already people who have been depressed for weeks and have anxiety and want to commit suicide. And so this is, like, a place where student government can step up and how we can, like, reach out to our peers and say, like, hey, these are, like, the mental health resources on campus. This is how you can access them. Mm-hmm. This is the cost if you have insurance. If you don't have insurance, these are your options if you don't have the resources to pay for them. And so we really want to help, like, destigmatize mental health resources. Mm-hmm. And when somebody is ready to get help, they can get help immediately. Because the way, like, the system works right now is that if... Actually, I don't know if I want to share this.
Maybe not.
I think it's okay.
For the sake of not being corrected, maybe not.
Yeah.
It's just based on availability and your ability to pay.
Yeah.
It's difficult, especially when Boise State's limited. Like, the Norco building is small in comparison to, like, an actual hospital. So the resources are just spread thin.
Yeah, that's fair to say. The resources are going to be spread thin in K through 12. As you said, students are going to be coming into university with issues. I mean, adolescence is difficult. So you're coming in with issues that might be 10 or 15 years old, and you're 18 to 20 years old. So
yeah, that on top of balancing academics, work-life balance.
Living on your own for the first time.
Remembering that it's okay, you need to breathe and eat and drink water.
Right.
Things that I thought were intuitive, but not my freshman year, like, especially living on my own, like you mentioned.
Yeah, feeding yourself stuff besides Taco Bell every single day.
I ate a little too much Domino's my freshman year.
Was it? Okay.
Yeah, not the most nutritious meal.
Gosh, I think back on what I ate at college. It was just like, I don't even know how I survived. No nutrition for months at a time.
Until you go home for a holiday.
Right.
And I think something that goes along with that is building community. And so being at, like, the height of the pandemic, when most of these students were in, like, their high school years or early college years, I think we're still transitioning out of, like, what does it mean to be involved in, like, my school community.
Yeah.
And especially when Boise State has a ton of commuter students, it's really easy to just show up to class and then leave. And we want to make sure that we, like, really push funding for clubs where they can have cool events for students, and then also advertise other events that departments are doing.
Mm-hmm.
So students can have our students can have the opportunity to be involved, and we can help them, like, you know, like, help advertise these to them.
And I think the benefit of Boise State having so many clubs is that there is quite literally a club for anybody.
Mm.
There's a Jedi club.
Hey.
And I don't know if you've ever seen that. No, there's a wizard club. It's those, like, they're not as big as maybe a fraternity or sorority, but not everybody wants to join Greek life. And if we can connect people with those groups, I think that helps as well. And I do feel for a high school graduating class of 2020, 2021, because they didn't even get their last few years of high school in person. How are they supposed to connect in college? They don't know anybody.
That's well put.
Yeah, and so ASPSU, we have the ability to fund student organizations on campus, and so we're trying to make that process a lot cleaner and more efficient. So when student clubs come to us, like, hey, we want to host
a pizza party
for whatever club it is, we, like, can give them that money, and it'll be, like, just, like, easier for them to have access to it. So we're working on that right now.
I love the pizza party example, because I did host a pizza party with my club.
Okay.
And it took me about 3 days to get all the forms done.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. That's
just to get just the forms. That's not including actually getting the card, signing my life away.
Getting the room.
Yeah.
To host your pizza party.
Yeah, I didn't think about the room. And then
telling all your club members to show up at X time, and
So all the forms, that's just bureaucracy, right? So you've got to get administrative forms, you've got to get security forms, that stuff, or what were all the forms for?
So we use a software called Engage that has all of our clubs listed. And so for each thing that you do, there's an event or some kind of form. So there's the event registration to publicly advertise it. There's the form to purchase the whatever. Then you have to rent the room. Or if you're doing it outside, you still have to acknowledge that that space is available.
And then if you want to buy something with a credit card, you have to also fill out a form for that.
Yes. So if I were to take the card to go to Domino's, I have to sign more documents to get that.
Right.
And then I have to bring it back, sign more documents, provide the receipt, prove that the numbers, which is understandable from a financial perspective.
Sure.
But as an undergrad, as a 19-year-old who wants to have fun with his friends,
right,
there's ways to streamline the process to make it easier. And if not, then there's ways to support the students to help do them do it. One of the things I'm going to do, office door is going to be open. I've had the privilege, I use that word lightly, of using Engage a lot, and I know how to use it. So door's open. Club member wants to come in, needs help filling out a form, I'm here for them.
So would you say there's opportunities to use, is it Engage?
Yes, Engage.
Engage is the...
It's just the platform where we
have
all like the forms and stuff.
Gotcha.
But the forms are really outdated.
They are.
Okay. That's one way, is just updating the forms. Okay. That's what I was going to ask next, and I'm glad to bring that up. How have the things gone in the last few weeks? Have you had a lot of people, a lot of conversations? You said your door is open. Have you had a lot of engagement with students so far? Or do you plan on picking that up more at the beginning of the fall?
I feel like every spare minute, I'm like, ASBSU stuff.
Yeah, my email is constantly full of questions.
Really?
And I'm able to answer a majority of them. The last one was the Rocket Club. They want to compete, and as you can imagine, ordering rocket parts is a little expensive and difficult.
Yeah.
Especially when they're coming out of the country. Those forms were a nightmare. But there were additional forms for ordering out of country.
Probably have to like register with the ATF or something like that.
FAA.
FAA, yeah. Okay.
Those were more forms that I let them fill out because I was a little out of my comfort zone. But to answer your question, there's been people reaching out and we're able to help them.
Great.
I imagine once the school year starts, it's going to be even more because most students are home enjoying their time off or they're working.
Yeah.
Or the last thing they want to talk about is school or anything Boise State related.
Yeah, it's going to be a busy, busy fall for you guys. Are you ready?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. And it's your going to be your senior year. Is this your senior year as
it
well?
It is, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So we'll be graduating in May.
Wow. Congratulations. That's
Thank
excellent.
You.
Yeah. So what are you guys, and I'm sorry if this is a little bit redundant, I'm trying to just flesh all of this out. What are you looking forward to in your last year as seniors, I guess personally, and then in office as well?
Would you like to go first, Madam President?
Sure did. For me, I'm honestly so excited to... have a year where I can focus on Boise State community. Because... I've had like 2 years of COVID, 1 year where I was studying, or like half a semester or a semester where I was studying abroad. And then this past year has been like super focused on academics and some other scholarship opportunities I've been pursuing. And so I'm really excited to have a lighter course load and be able to work closely with students.
Yeah, it seems senior year seems like a perfect time. I had a ninth grade biology teacher. I'll never forget him just describing the high school 4 year process, but I feel like college is similar. Freshman, you're starting to find your feet. Sophomore, it's like a track meet. You know, you're going around the second time. You're like, okay, I kind of get this. And then junior year is really tough. That's when you are setting yourself up for the future. And then senior year, You're like, okay.
Like sailing.
Yep. Yeah. Smooth sailing.
Yeah.
Cut halfway across the track.
You know, that's the hope, but you never know what's going to happen.
Right.
We're prepared for those speed bumps.
We've hit a lot of speed bumps. Yeah. Right. We've hit a lot of speed bumps and throughout our academic careers.
Yeah.
So how about you, Jason? What are you looking forward to?
So, personally, I found that a lot of people on campus are not having fun. Because that's coming out of COVID, because this is our first full academic year.
Right.
lack of a better term, just COVID strategies.
Sure.
And I think colleges focus on academics. I think that is important. Mm-hmm. But I think students should be able to have fun, and they should be able to meet people and have a good time. I want them to remember college as a good experience.
Mm-hmm.
Say a lot of students haven't had that experience because academics, go home, homework, because they can't do things, or it's hard to do things, and so I want...
Or they don't know how to do things,
yeah,
because they started their first 2 years in COVID.
Yeah, or if they need something, they don't know how to get it.
Yeah.
So that's a personal goal for me. I know it's a little silly, maybe not as lofty, but...
No, that's understandable. And the first year back is a little bit, to interrupt you, the first year back is a little bit awkward, isn't it?
Certainly, yeah.
You're like, wait a minute, what do I do here?
Yeah, I spent 2 years in online classes, and now I'm seeing my professors face-to-face and my classmates.
Yeah.
And I'm grateful because group projects are terrible over Zoom.
Oh, my gosh.
Not to discredit the online majors, but I don't know how y'all do it. And then professional goal, I'm pretty passionate about mental health, especially on campus, because I find that there's a stigma behind it,
mm-hmm.
and it's inaccessible, and there's so many other things behind it that make it difficult for students to attain.
I'm surprised that you say that there's a stigma behind it. Not because that there's not a stigma behind it. I think you're correct. Mm-hmm. But I feel like the conversation is much, much more open than it was 5 years ago or 10 years ago. Like, you're allowed to address that you might be having mental health issues, that other students might be having mental health issues, but you still feel like there's a stigma behind it, though, to a certain extent.
I do, and I had some good conversations with U of I student government about it as well, and I find it unfortunate that we have to wait for something to go terribly for us to think about it, or find a way to do anything about it.
Okay.
So mental health has always been an issue, I think, not just in higher education, but generally in our world today.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sad, though eye-opening, that COVID kind of reminded us that we're not robots. We need to breathe, we need to rest, mm-hmm. and we have feelings and emotions
mm-hmm.
that we, I think, repressed for 3 years, and now we're dealing with the consequences of that.
I think also a lot of our students are from rural areas in Idaho.
Mm-hmm.
They're students that have already been underserved in their K-12 education.
Yeah.
And it's like really hard to like come from a small town.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up in a small town.
Mm-hmm.
And then come to a big city where everybody's already having these conversations, but I never talked about it growing up. And so the gap is still there. And I think maybe we're just like more familiar with it because we've lived in Boise for a little bit longer.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, a lot of incoming students like don't know that the resources that university can provide them.
Yeah. And they're so spread out, it feels like.
Sometimes they don't even know they need them.
There's things my department has that I didn't even know existed.
Really?
Yeah, and I'm a senior.
No kidding. what's your department?
College of Business and Economics.
Yeah. So how do you reach? And I really like that point, because I'm coming from outside the state as well. It's extremely rural state, and if you are in a smaller town, that's more difficult to talk about that stuff. People know each other a little bit more, and you just don't have as many resources. So coming to Boise. So having said that, how do you reach the students then? I mean, you two are busy with your own lives. What are some of your strategies for connecting with students more? Social media, town halls. What do you think?
You can start.
Okay. Well, we have the benefit of having our assembly as well,
Okay.
For different
and Senate.
No, Assembly and Senate, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And that helps us reach just a huge amount of students.
Yes.
In the first place. Social media is important, and I know we're going to be using it quite a bit, especially with our commitment to transparency. I find the students don't check their emails, so we'll send them, but I'm going to kind of strike that off the priority list.
Yeah.
But, like, the biggest thing is, like, people-to-people connection, face-to-face.
Nice.
You know, we want people to feel comfortable reaching out to their representatives, their senators, or even us.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's our job, is to serve students.
And the biggest thing that we want to emphasize is, like, I think maybe in the past it was, like, students come to ASBSU if you have problems.
Yeah.
But we're trying to flip that, where, like, we show up to your events. We show up on the quad.
Okay.
You know who we are. You know, like, how we can advocate for you. So when the time comes when you are in whatever pickle that you're in, like, you know that random person that you met who's in ASBSU that you can reach out to.
Yeah. We don't want students to feel alone. ASBSU is here for one purpose. It's serving students.
Well, I really like that you said events. You show up at the quad. Sounds like you guys are going to have your faces out there quite a bit. Are you looking forward to that? I mean, like you said, this is your first time. Our first year back face to face, it actually sounds like a fun time connecting with students and going to these events.
Yeah. I'm excited.
I'm extremely excited.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's gonna be nice, especially for the first few months when it's warm out.
Right.
Yeah. When it snows, we'll air up.
Now, one quick thing. You mentioned U of I government, correct? Mm-hmm. Student government. Do you guys talk with students on other campuses and then government on other campuses as well? Is there communication there?
Yeah, we did. So when we were at the State Board of Education meeting, it was in Moscow.
Right.
So we met with their ASU rep president and a couple of individuals. I don't remember their positions. I think they were on Senate.
Okay.
And we had the opportunity to talk to some students. Not as many as I would have liked, but I think that's the benefit of our governments being in contact.
Mm.
Meeting with ISU government at some point this week.
Mm.
I'm not sure when.
Oh, nice.
So we reached out, or ISU, we're in contact with them.
Lewis Clark State College.
Yeah.
We know some people at College of Western Idaho, but it's, you know, first few weeks, we're still getting our bearings.
Yeah.
So I think, especially with U of I, we have the benefit of talking to them in person.
Mm-hmm.
Our rivalry with Boise State U of I is pretty much non-existent. And I think we have the benefit of talking, and we have pretty similar campus cultures, I would say, in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a wrong word, but our job is to serve students. We can hear from this population, we can hear from this one, we can hear from this one, find what works here. Maybe it'll work here, maybe it won't. We can bounce ideas off of each other, and then we support each other, because we are excited for this job, but it's going to be difficult, and we have the benefit of reaching out to each other and supporting each other, because we're all going through the same thing.
In the past, when I was government relations officer, I connected with almost all the state or like local, I don't know what like the, just like Idaho.
Student governments?
Yeah, like Idaho colleges?
Oh, yeah.
Idaho state colleges?
Yeah.
I don't know.
State funded.
Yeah, state funded colleges. And we reviewed like legislation from like the past like 2 years that related to higher education and then made like this accessible format of like, hey, this is like your legislator, like look at how they voted on like these like certain like pieces and made it really like easy to understand.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's been collaboration in the past and we're just hoping to like make it a little bit stronger this year.
Yeah. We're all Idaho students. We can all find ways to collaborate.
Yeah. And like Idaho State Board of Education, they just met today.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they I have to look at like the results of it, but every year each student government like testifies about like student fees and like if there should be like an increase and why, and so we do work together.
Mm-hmm. Nice. So you mentioned the Senate. How many people are in the Senate, Boise State?
One for every school.
Yeah. So I don't know now because there's new schools as in the last few years.
Oh, one for every college of engineering. Yeah, okay. Okay, cool. And how do you guys work with the senators, and then sort of how often do you assemble? Is it once a month, every couple of weeks?
In the last year, they did every other week.
Okay.
But this year, we're looking to meet every week, so things can happen a little bit faster, and there can be a faster response time.
It's ambitious.
But usually what happens is, like, Senate and Assembly, they meet every week. Mm-hmm. Bills and, like, resolutions are discussed. And then they talk about it separately, vote on it, and then it gets passed or it doesn't get passed.
And these are, I assume, open meetings. All students can come to these.
Yes.
And can students speak at these, or they can just...
Yep.
Yeah, okay. There's time. Mm-hmm. That's great. Well, I appreciate this. And you've talked about connecting with students quite a bit, so I want to give you the opportunity to say anything else here at the end, either to Boise State students or to people reading this outside of what your vision is and what you want to do at Boise State. You said you've got a year to do it, so.
Now you first.
Okay. I'm looking forward to working with students, and I'm very open to feedback and criticism if that is to come up, because our vision for Boise State is lofty, and we need to hear what students want, what they need, especially, and what they don't need may change throughout the academic year, and we're here to support them no matter what. That's our job. So I'm looking forward to working with every student.
Nice.
It's lofty?
I wouldn't say lofty. It's attainable.
You said lofty.
Attainable, but every goal is not.
Like, it means nothing unless we listen to students.
Exactly. See, we have the benefit. We finish each other's sentences.
So I see this.
We're a good team.
We are.
You are.
What do I want to say?
Yeah, it's not fun being put on the spot, is it?
Well, you did a good job finishing here, to interrupt your thought. Just saying, it means nothing if we don't reach students. So it was a good place to start.
Yeah, I mean, I'm so blessed and grateful that I have the opportunity to attend post-secondary, or like obtain a post-secondary education and attend Boise State. And it's like my honor to try to make it a better place for my peers. So, yeah. Can I add some like clarifying thoughts on like the Constitution?
Yeah.
That we were talking about earlier?
Yeah.
I really don't want this like interview to come out and people think that like there's like a really like a poor view on like the past
administration.
But I think like the biggest main points to take away is that they claimed a lot of things but didn't do the work, and so they may have thought it's easier now that it mimics the federal government, but student government doesn't exist to govern students. We're here to advocate and support them, and that structure is very different. And I've been part of student government since I was my very first semester here at Boise State, so fall 2019, and so I've seen it change throughout the years, and I'm confused when I read the Constitution. And so we're hoping that before the beginning of the school year, we can really clean it up, because we're not changing it, but make sure that students know what's happening and how they can navigate ASVSU now that it's like a little bit different.
That's important. What new things do you think they're going to have to navigate, or what new challenges might be there because of the new Constitution?
Yeah, well, the new Constitution like creates this thing called like the judicial branch, which has like a lot of like, what is it called? Like, judicial jargon? I don't know what the word is.
That is an issue. It's the word choices that are used to make it seem more official. Okay. So
yeah, but we're not here to judge students, and ASVC doesn't have that power to look at, to see if, like, I don't know how to say it.
You can't, like, put them in Bronco jail?
No. Yeah, exactly. Like, and so, like, the language is, like, really misleading. When really, in the past, like, an ethics committee was there for when students would file complaints against people within ASBSU who were not performing their duties. And the judicial branch makes it seem like now they're judging students instead of, like, just, like, reviewing their conduct and seeing if they're meeting their, like, requirements or their duties.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's weird. Other things, like, they want the ethics officer, now it's called, like, Vice President of Ethics Affairs, to be elected, which could be, like, a huge, like, checks and balances, like, issue. I don't know. What's the word? Like, could be, like, huge, like, conflict of interest.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
If you're, like, a really popular person and you want to, you know, run for an ethics officer,
yeah,
right? And so there's no checks and balances for that position, like, does somebody interview? Does somebody make sure that, you know, you're abiding by the Constitution rules? Do you understand, like, the process?
Mm-hmm.
Things like that. Another thing, like, they basically put Senate, Assembly, and Funding Board all into, like, one branch, and they called it legislation. But Funding Board, their sole purpose is to fund student organizations, so they don't write legislation. And so that's confusing too, because then when student clubs are like, who do I reach out to? Which branch do I reach out to get student fees? It's like, do I reach out to the legislation branch, like the legislative branch?
Yeah.
So honestly, like, I think it's just, it's really confusing the way they have communicated it to students. And I think that is also a reason why a lot of students just, like, voted yes, because on the ballot, the reasonings, like, they sounded awesome.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they sounded cool. It sounded like, oh, it sounds like interesting, sounds like a cool way to change things up. But the actual execution of it is probably going to look different.
And on that vote, I don't know the percentage, but there were quite a few abstain votes rather than students voting yes or no. So I think they didn't have the opportunity to fully understand the constitutional changes.
I mean, I didn't even get a chance to review the final changes of the Constitution before I voted, because I think they, like, released it, like, a few days before.
Mm-hmm. And it wasn't included in that voting.
Mm-mm,
you have to go to the actual ASBSU website to view it.
Oh, really?
Which the website itself is, like, a mess, too.
Yeah.
So it wasn't included on the ballot?
Mm-mm.
No, it was not.
Okay. So what's primarily confusing about the Constitution, or at least some issues with the Constitution then, is the judicial branch, which sounds like, if I'm a student and I have an issue with the ASBSU government, I go to the judicial branch then. That's essentially why that was created.
Well, it already technically existed. They just changed, like, the name of it. So there used to always be an ethics officer,
mm-hmm.
and then they would call upon their ethics committee,
right,
if they would have complaints. And in the previous constitution, it said, like, ethics officer may call upon their committee to review complaints. And the reasoning for the new constitution was, like, you know, the ethics committee, if, like, they were a friend of somebody, they could just, like, review the complaint themselves and then pass it. But I was like, if that was the main problem, you could have just changed one word, which is, like, the ethics committee must call upon their committee to review complaints, instead of creating, like, this, all this jargon that's mm-hmm. confusing for students, to make it seem more like, you know, we're, I don't know, like, judging students on, like, their behavior or whatever. So.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
That's challenging. I mean, like you said, you guys are going to be trying to meet people face to face. Have you found, just in the last month or so, have you found students, it sounds like you have found students who are confused by this or concerned by the new constitution?
Yeah, a lot.
Okay.
Yeah. We get emails. Some of our advisors in the Student Inclusion Leadership Center, they're bombarded with emails all the time.
Okay.
About what's happening with this, what's happening with that, and so.
I feel like even some of them are confused, and they're trying to answer the best of their abilities, but until it's actually implemented, it's hard to answer something.
Well, until we write the code.
Yeah, that's included.
Which is how we're going to implement it.
Okay, that's what I was about to ask, actually. When will that happen?
Well, we're hoping to write the code over the summer, and then the first day the new constitution is in effect is the first day of fall.
Okay.
Semester. So technically we're still running under the old constitution.
Mm-hmm.
And the plan is to work a lot this summer to make sure that we're prepared for the new constitution and we're prepared to communicate these things to students.
Gotcha.
Yeah, but I mean, so much miscommunication has happened.
So there's still an ethics officer, but now they're elected. That will go along with student elections at the same exact time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, I'm confused too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hopefully we'll be able to clarify it sooner rather than later.
Right.
By the first day of school, our ability to communicate, that will be a lot.
Yeah, hopefully we can clean it up. So, yeah, it makes sense.
Are you two here this summer? Are you here for a month or so? I mean, what are your plans this summer in order to write the code and set up a plan for communication? Do you have time to do that, essentially?
I live here.
So. Okay. Nice.
I do have time, and I've prepared in advance to set time aside to do that as well.
Yeah, I'll be in and out. I have an internship out of state, so I'll be here and there. But we are hoping to have some students and campus input when we write this code, because we definitely don't want it to be written by one person or even just a few people.
Okay.
Because I mean, that's the problem with the current constitution right now. And so, we're already trying to talk to people in SILC's Student Involvement Leadership Center to see who are good people that we should reach out to help us write code, researching into other student governments' codes and constitutions to see, how have they worded things, how have things worked for them.
Mm-hmm.
So lots of work will be done this summer.
How can students reach out to you two if they have questions about this? It sounds like emails.
Yeah, email.
Okay.
Yeah, we have asbsu@boisestate.edu.
Yep.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Again, my door will be open. There are certain times it will be closed. But I'm open to have office hours, so I will publicly state when I will be in that office.
Yeah, okay. That's something that we're hoping to do this upcoming year, is make sure all executive members have office hours. I mean, there's this whole room in the Student Union building dedicated to ASVSU.
That's what I was going to ask.
And hoping to involve more, Senate and Assembly members, inviting them to host office hours if they'd like.
Mm-hmm.
And so